Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am the smart. S-M-R-T. S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Mr. Gracious, Mr. Humble, at your service as always. I'm excited about having Doug Campbell back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Doug's an old friend of ours, and he's managing director of the Success Coach. And Doug and his organization work with business owners and independent professionals to help them put their best foot forward in the marketplace by growing their business and becoming higher performers, more improved performance in their businesses. He's our good friend. Doug, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you back. You know, Doug, one of the things that I've been talking about a lot over the last several years, but more and more even than just in the last few days, is the importance of recognizing what Dorothy said to her dog when she was taken to the Land of Oz. She said, "We're not in Kansas anymore, Toto." And I'd like to point out to people in the marketplace today, when they look around them, to realize that they're not in Kansas anymore, and their Kansas is the 20th century. We're not in that century anymore. We're in a new century. We're in the 21st century. Things here are different. And that might mean that we need some level of reinvention. Maybe not a major overhaul, but some measure of reinvention. Another way I say that is, it's okay to do what you did in the 21st century. In the 20th century, it's okay to do those same things. You just can't do them the same way. What do you think about that?
Well, I agree. I mean, I think, obviously the business world is a lot more competitive, a lot of new technologies coming along, and you need to continually be looking for better ways to do things and change the way you do things. And I've also seen, a lot of industries or businesses where, people get to a certain stage and they just aren't as relevant or as valuable to the company as they were maybe when they're in their 20s, 30s.
I was talking to my friend Rick Maurer recently, and he was talking about his favorite Thai restaurant. And they wanted some takeout. He and his wife wanted some takeout. And so he wanted the same food that he'd gotten in the 20th century. He liked it, their food. But he was looking for their menu, and he tried to find it online, and they didn't have it. They didn't even have a website, let alone their menu online. He didn't want them to deliver it. He didn't want to buy it online. He just wanted to shop for their food online. And so he went somewhere else. And so the point was that the Thai restaurant didn't need to change how they served and made their food. They just needed to change how they made it available to their customers. And
right.
That's a reinvention that they needed to learn, isn't it?
Well, and I think they definitely had to make some changes, and I've actually got a friend who has a company called Tasty Bite, and their whole focus is ethnic foods. And he sells packaged ethnic foods, Indian, Thai. He's got about a $30 million company, and he produces it in Australia, India, and the U.S., and, it's booming.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be competing with that Thai restaurant as well.
Right, but he's not fixed in any one place. I can't go sit down at his restaurant. I can't.
And his is takeout food. But I'm just saying that that might be an option for someone who wants to order online or go to a restaurant.
Exactly. So what are some general parameters that we need to think about? Not to say, okay, this morning I'm going to decide to reinvent myself. Maybe you don't need to reinvent yourself. But we all will have to reinvent ourselves at some point in time. I think that's going to be the constant in the 21st century is reinvention. And I wrote an article one time titled Reinvention or Extinction, The Choice is Yours. But I think that's going to be happening. But how should we think about reinvention?
Well, my premise is, or at least what I've seen recently with a lot of clients I've worked with, is you kind of get to 45 to 55, to that stretch, and it's a lot of times you really do need to make some major changes. And it just seems to be a constant. It seems to be a flex point, you know, where you need to rethink things. And, you know, I'll give you an example of one client who was, she was working for a PR firm and not very happy and, you know, very, very talented, but was really afraid to make that step into the entrepreneurial world. And, of course, when you're in your, when you're late 40s, early 50s, it's a very good option is to go out on your own because you know a lot, you've learned a lot, you've been relatively successful. And literally, I had talked to her about 4 years earlier, and I could tell she was kind of unhappy and ready for a change. She comes back to me, you know, I want to hire you, I want to make this change. And, you know, within a couple months, she's going to triple her income. And
hold on to that thought. I want you to tell us what you told her, what she had to do. We'll do that right after these messages, folks. That's Doug Campbell. You were just listening to. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. It's 10 till. No, 20 till. That's right, 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be back.
There's nothing small.
Best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I need mine.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is our flagship where you can find the show. You can podcast our interviews by MP3 from there if you want. You can stream MP3 from there. You can, in fact, you have thousands of those options, folks, of the interviews that we've done. We've been saving them for you since 1999. And also, of course, there are many articles, thousands of articles. You can subscribe to my free newsletter. You can check out our blog, which is there. And don't forget to go to our knowledge base, askjim.biz, which is where you can get small business answers now. Doug Campbell is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Doug, you were just telling us about this friend of yours, this client who is it a lady? Is that what I remember it being?
Yeah,
a lady?
The woman who was about 45 and
and she was saying, you know, maybe I need to hitch my wagon to my own star.
Well, you know, as someone who was very talented and very good at what she did, and yet kind of afraid to make that entrepreneurial step. And what we worked on is how to do it and when to do it and how to negotiate. And
what did you tell her? What did you tell her that there was the...
Well, I encouraged
what was the,
her.
What was the bedrock thing that you told her that helped her to have a strategy she could be comfortable with for going from employment to self-employed?
Well, I think told her, I mean, we talked about entrepreneurship, what's involved, are you cut out for it? Clearly she was. And gave her a lot of the confidence, and I actually helped negotiate as kind of a board of advisors role, negotiate her arrangements with the company, one company she was leaving and another publishing company that wanted to get her involved with that company. So I think it helped with confidence, and it helped with different perspective, and it helped have more of a team kind of make these transitions.
Right.
But, you know, she actually left the firm she was with, negotiated a half-time job that paid her just as much money. And now she's pitching a major bank is going to do a regional rollout, and I think she's going to get the whole thing, and it'll triple her income.
Wow.
And just a great story. But the amazing thing is it energized her so much. I mean, she'd been kind of 3 or 4 years being felt like she was being taken advantage of.
She was under someone else's lid, wasn't she?
Yeah, and not being paid enough and not being recognized enough and not liking his management style. And
but, you know, there are a lot of people out there like that. Doug, there are lots of people in America and other countries too that are like that. They have the same kinds of feeling. They're nodding their head right now as you describe her, and they're saying, "Yeah, that's me." But being a business owner is not for everyone.
No, and it certainly isn't. And you know, I mean,
reinvention might not mean that you start your own business.
No. I'll give you another example. I have a client who worked for Business Week for 25 years. And as I've seen recently, a lot of people, particularly in the financial world, you get to be late 40s, and it's you know, a lot of companies want to get younger people involved, and so he basically had an opportunity to become publisher of a trade publication in the finance area. And so we basically spent a lot of time coming up with a 30, 60, 90-day plan, how he would take over this publishing venture, how he would, manage the people, remarket, rebrand the product. But he went in there and met with three key people in this company and, you know, could kind of address each one of them, what their concerns were, what their needs were, what they thought was important. And, but spent a lot of time preparing for that, probably 10 or 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Writing up a whole presentation, putting together a PowerPoint, mm-hmm. handling all the questions, you know. So sometimes if you're transitioning to a pretty high-level, different type of job, it really makes sense to do a lot of homework and really be thoroughly prepared.
Well, there's no question about that. You know, I keep coming back to something that I thought about a while back, and I've used it. I've actually said this recently, in fact, in another hour recently on the show, and that is what I tell small business owners about making the transition from the 20th century to the 21st century. I tell them that it's okay to fall in love with what you do, even if you did it in the 20th century. It's okay. I used the example of the Thai food a minute ago. It's okay not to change your recipes of your Thai food from the 20th century recipes. Maybe they were 15th century recipes. You know, it's okay to have those same recipes. People still like that stuff. But it's not. It may not be okay to fall in love with or to keep doing the things that you do the way you were doing them.
Definitely. I think that's a very good point.
I mean, architecture. You and I mentioned architects offline a minute ago. Architecture, the fundamentals of architecture, the geometry, the physics of architecture and construction haven't changed. Those things are still fundamental. They've been the same since Archimedes and all the way back. But the way architects deal with their customers and manage projects, that's changed considerably. And if you can't do that like in the 20th century way, then you're not going to be a very effective architect.
Well, and I had a friend of mine manage the whole NIH, I think, or NISP. It was a health organization building and government project, managed the whole thing on the web. The subcontractors, everything. So every day, if you were working on this project or working for the government, you check in, figure out what the step was, what other people were doing, and the whole process was managed that way.
I met a guy from your state, Connecticut, who was building upscale houses for extremely wealthy people all around the world in your state on the beach, and he installed a video camera on the property, and they could, from wherever they were in the world, they could watch their building being built.
There we go.
There you go. Same construction, folks, just different way of dealing with your customers.
Yep.
Ten Tales, stay with us. We'll be back with Doug Campbell. We're back. It's 23. No, it's not 23. That's 53 till. I mean, 53 after 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Duke of Earl, the guy who can't tell time. It's 7 until the hour, ladies and gentlemen. I'll wake up and smell the coffee before long. But really, you know, I was just trying to see if you were paying attention. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. Doug Campbell is our guest. He's the managing director of the Success Coach. And Doug, tell us how we can contact you and why would we want to?
Well, my website is thesuccesscoach.com, thesuccesscoach.com, and I do executive coaching. I've helped a lot of high achievers be more successful or make the transitions they want to make and grow.
But the other reason why we might want to contact you is you can do it virtually too, can't you?
Yeah, I can do it on the phone, and I also do a lot of speaking. I'm in the National Speakers Association. I do speak on building your business and facilitate workshops.
Now, you're in the great state of Connecticut, one of my favorite states in the whole union. But let's say somebody's listening in Phoenix right now. And okay, I know we could do some things a little bit online over the phone, but maybe I'd like to be a little more face-to-face with my coach. Could you help me find somebody out there?
Sure. Yeah, I mean,
you're part of a network.
Excuse me?
You're part of a network of folks, aren't you? I mean,
there's an International Coaches Federation. I was quite involved with them, quite a few years ago. And I know some coaches, but certainly have met people all over the country.
Well, the thing is, folks, you got when all of my Brain Trust members, and Doug's a good example, you know, they'll be glad to help you. And if it makes sense for you to have someone nearby or whatever, you know, Doug, I know you're like my other Brain Trust members. You'd be glad to help them with that, whatever needs to be done. And so, folks, thesuccesscoach.com, right? Is that it?
Thesuccesscoach.com,
yeah. So check that out when you get a chance. When's your book coming out, Doug?
Working on the book, a little bit behind schedule here, Jim. But
We need to get it going here so we can launch it on my show.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. I do write some articles for local newspapers and done a lot of speaking lately for trade associations and conferences. But that's definitely on my list.
This reinvention thing is not, if no one is avoiding that, are they? I mean, every organization, every entity on planet Earth is having to realize that they have to, that they're not in Kansas anymore. They're in the 21st century. Things here are different. They've got to make sure, even if what they do is still valid, the way they do it may not be. What do you think?
I agree. I mean, I think you've got to be constantly looking at trends or having people who, you know, for example, we were talking about the architecture. I met a guy the other day who's from Connecticut here who's an expert on green building. Mm-hmm. Which is a whole new category where, you know,
it's
you're
a body.
Passes.
It's a area. It's a discipline that's going to be coming. Well, eventually we won't call it green. It'll just be building. It'll be the
right
way things are.
And so you've got passive solar in business buildings. You have recycled building materials that costs a little bit more, but it saves a lot of energy. He's got two major projects in Richmond, Virginia, and he's in total demand. Now, that's a fairly new area. I mean, some people don't even know what green building is. Most builders at least have heard of it and maybe put their toe in the water. But it's definitely a trend that's here to stay, I think.
Well, and if you're a builder and if somebody comes to you and says, look, I'm sensitive to environmental issues, I'm also sensitive to my pocketbook. So it's not. I don't want to build a million-dollar building for $2 million if we don't have to. But what can we do to combine the economies, my interest in getting this done as inexpensively as possible, but also taking the advantage of green opportunities? If you can't have that conversation with somebody very quickly, you're probably not going to be competitive, are you?
Right. Exactly. And I think the reality is you spend 2% more building that building, and it'll save you 10% over the life of the building. So
that's what you got to do. You got to talk about the direct and the indirect costs and savings, don't you?
Yep. You got to sell it on a cost, which has always been business. You got to sell it on a cost benefit basis. I mean, make cost you a little more, but if it's going to last longer or it's a better product or serves you
exactly
better, go with it.
Doug, you got about 30 seconds. Last thoughts.
I think people should really be thinking about if they're in the middle of their career, is there something that I'm really good at, something I loved in my life, maybe I should step out there and go for it. If you're determined that way, or make the changes that you need to make in your life and maybe get into a new business or new job opportunity and make sure you're energized, you love what you're doing.
Exactly. Well said, Doug. The website is thesuccesscoach.com. That's Doug Campbell's website. And, Doug, thanks for being here. Good job today, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Jim.
Take care. Doug Campbell, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be too, but not this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.